Good evening.
Good evening, hello, everyone. Hello.
Good evening.
Are you feeling well, Peter?
Hello, I'm Gervin.
Peter Dixon, that was.
Oh,
he
was quick off the mark.
No, you as well, but Peter mailed me that he wasn't too well, so.
Are you better? How many Peters have we got?
Too many.
Well, three at the moment.
Do you have any suggestions about what you should do?
We'll have to put the initial after each name, like Peter D and Peter
no,
S.
No, I'm PLL. I'm PLL anyway.
Yeah.
Because in the trade, we had a man called Peter Luscombe. And everybody got him muddled up with me. And I got, they muddled him up with me. So I actually become Plum or PRL.
See, anyone would get you mixed up with anyone.
I don't know about that. The neighbours have been saying today my music's great. I've had the music turned up loud and I've been on the veranda. And I've had a good afternoon.
Sounds good.
Depends on the music.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gervin, can you answer me a question before we start properly?
Well, I've already started recording, just so you know. But
it's quite a decent question.
All right.
You know the link you send us with the email?
Yeah.
Do we get a different one each week? Or does it same one last?
I think they're all the same.
You can keep it all the same, I think. Yeah, I think that's what Les does.
I think they're all the same for every week. So, but just on the safe side, or if people have a guest or something that they want to invite, so that's why I sent the email again, just as a reminder.
All right. Okay, I just wondered.
So, yeah.
Hello there.
Oh, dear me.
Hello, Roy. I can hear you.
Yeah, good. That's good to know.
I'm just going to have to rename you.
My next door neighbour has just been confirmed as having COVID-19.
Oh, it's creeping up on you.
So, that's maybe, I might have got it from them, I don't know.
Right.
Are you checking your temperature each day, Peter?
I haven't had a temperature, but I've had all the other.
Right.
Well, some of the other, what do you call it, ailments, you know?
Symptoms.
Like symptoms, yeah, like the cough. The cough's the worst.
Right.
Your rib cage is really sore.
Right.
Somebody said it was like coughing razor blades.
Yeah.
You can't stop it either, you know?
Is it as bad as that, Peter?
Yeah, it's really horrible. It's it gets to the point where it's very painful because you're all your muscles in your rib cage, etc., you know, and you've got a raging sore throat. But it's only for about 48 hours, and then today I've just as the day's gone on, I've got better and better and better, you know.
All right.
So hopefully.
So you're a tough old bugger fighting it off.
It's one of those things where I might not even have it. It might be something else. Yeah. You just don't know.
That's true. Well, keep our fingers
crossed. You're not old, are you, Peter?
Sorry?
You're not old.
I'm 73 this year.
Well, you're bloody lucky.
I was
84 in March.
Well, you're checking in, Dave.
Well done.
Roy, yes, you.
And Roy, of course.
I remember my youth well.
Of course, Roy's just turned 95.
I know, yeah.
95.
Right. I'm going to
have Roy's picture.
No, I've not got the camcorder, but then I'm using a computer which doesn't have a built-in one.
All right.
And they've all gone. I got a mic very easily, but they're like toilet rolls, the others. There's lots of people sell them, but none of them have them on the shelves.
Yeah.
And so, but I have got one that's supposed to come for Easter, so I'm expecting. You'll have the misery of seeing me next weekend as well as hearing me with a bit of luck. And then I'll show some work next weekend. I told German too, so.
Great. Yeah.
Mark Ainsley very kindly got me a pack of toilet rolls from Costco. 40 in it. I said, oh, I'm going to stand at the 40. End of the street and sell them for £5 and go on, make a fortune.
Yeah.
So, what was that hat you had on, Peter L?
Oh, do you mean this one?
No, the other one.
The other one.
One that looked like a football.
Yeah. That's the same. That's the same.
Oh,
it was. Well, it was 2000 in Holland.
Tell us the money for that hat.
Euro. The Euro.
I wasn't there. I was here.
The Euro.
Oh, look, there's a bit you got, Gerben.
Yeah. I've got mine here. Yeah, this one my son gave to me, but he bought it in Germany. So, yeah.
Mm.
National.
How's Aina?
I'm well, thank you very much. Good. Doing well.
Yeah, I'm going to send her away soon.
Why?
Breathing
Why?
In the
neck. You'll be all right.
Yeah.
I've got other stuff to do as well.
No.
Been eating a Cadbury's Easter egg with my daughter. Every national health worker's got a free one by courtesy of Cadbury's, which is quite nice.
Oh, very nice.
That is, yeah. Great.
Pun?
Hello.
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 We'll say hello.
Hello. Hello,
Elaine.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, Elaine from Concert.
Elaine.
Thank you. Hi.
Hello, Elaine.
Hello.
Oh, yeah.
Carol coming in. Ooh, and Ed. Get busy. That's 16, 17, right?
Yep.
Girly medicinal.
Likewise.
Yes, of course.
Ribena.
Oh, yeah. I believe that.
I think red wine and whiskey is the best for your health.
Not mixed.
So I don't have to get mixed. One. If that one is Alan Wilson, who's this Alan? W.
It's Corona compatible, is it, whiskey?
I don't know about that, but it's good for your health, apparently, in moderation.
With Alan Wilson and Alan W, they're both me. I've got a split personality. And as a bit of a schizophrenic, I can see two ways on looking at things. But I'm trying on my home PC and the laptop to see, just a little experiment to see which one works best, which one gives the best picture, if there's any lag or anything. So it's all just an experiment.
Neither have improved your looks, Alan.
Thank you very much.
Hello, everybody.
I was just going to.
Hi, Linda.
I hope you don't mind. My friend Elaine is joining us tonight.
All right.
Hello.
Elaine's a member at Concert, so she's having a different perspective tonight.
Hi. A lot of Concert members done that over the years.
Didn't they make steel at one time?
Didn't they what?
Make steel.
A long time ago.
I was up in Concert doing some interviews at Bike Shop, and I heard these two little old ladies saying, "Do you know, Agnes, this morning?"
Ooh,
it's really? Because this was just after the steel. And he said, really? She said, yes. And the other one said, and you know, I saw a bird that wasn't red. Because they were always in the iron ore dust.
When the steel was on.
Yeah.
Well, I visited the steelworks once when it was still working. It was like Dante's Inferno.
Hi
everybody, Carol speaking now. I'm back in.
Hello, Carol.
Is everybody all right? Everybody no. okay?
Peter's not fine. He's got Lurgy.
We've got a fellow up there, Carol.
I might have the dreaded dehydration. I've got the dreaded virus.
Well, somebody's in bed.
That's all that.
In bed? Looks like. Looks like Paul's in bed.
I've been demoted.
Carol, you're very dark. Have you got the light off?
Yeah, well, on the light of the window.
You're not paying the bills.
And as usual, we get David from the nose upwards.
Yeah.
I thought you meant I was dark because I've been sitting in the sun all day.
No, it's the background that's dark.
It's very dark.
Roy's is even darker.
David, tell your screen, David, we only got you from the nose upwards.
You want to change your f-stop setting?
That's it.
Change it the other way, David.
That's better.
David, can you put it back?
Be on F8. You all know what that means.
20. Right.
He stands a little.
It's Alan Wilson duplicated.
Yeah, true. He only counts one, really, isn't he?
He does.
What's the theme running here, by the way? I can be heard, you know.
We can't get enough of Alan.
So how many is there tonight of Buzz Gerben?
Right, we've got 7 people doing images.
How many drunks have you got?
Sorry, say again?
How many drunks?
I don't know.
I'm working on it.
Not many yet, but
19, soon. Isn't it? Or maybe 20.
Being good tonight until after the meeting.
All right, okay.
Yeah. Peter, I'm on the computer tonight.
Peter, I think you're too far away from your microphone. We can't hear you. Peter Lumley, you're too far away from your microphone.
Yeah.
No, never.
Yeah, I can't hear you.
I only have a very soft voice, you know.
That's why you need to be closer.
Good. Yeah, okay.
Have a good evening.
That's better.
See you another time. Bye-bye.
Bye now.
Bye.
Was it something I said?
That was short and sweet.
I told her to go a few minutes ago.
She's told.
Nothing personal.
David, how's your daughter doing?
Thank you for asking. She's a lot better. She was on the verge of going into hospital on Wednesday, I think it was, because they were unhappy with her because she was getting dehydrated because she was vomiting and sweating and all the rest of it. Anyway, she's perked up and the GP stopped her being sick with some amazing drug and she's a lot better. So she's actually gone out for a walk and managed 100 yards today. It's the first time she's been out for 10 days. But she's on the verge of going to hospital. And the other thing is, from a parent point of view, you cannot do anything about it. You seem inept. You're miles away and you cannot do anything.
Yeah.
Never change us, David.
I know. Well, that's right. The most constructive thing we did was we put some paracetamol in an envelope and posted it to her. We cannot help them. Never mind.
Yep.
It sounds good news then.
Yeah. She's getting over it now, but she's on the same trajectory as Boris, you know, started at the same time.
Yeah. Oh.
Didn't need ITU. But this is what happens there. The younger people get over it a bit better than the older people.
Yeah.
There was a guy of 100 on telly this week.
Yeah, I saw that.
Who got over it.
He's good, very lucky. Very lucky.
Yeah,
very lucky. My middle son has had it as well.
Yes. I think the government are looking for those of us who are older to sign a thing that we don't want eventually. You know.
That's been denied.
Well, they've clogged it quite a bit.
DNR, there's been some papers circulating which say DNR isn't a policy. That people are saying they fill them in anyway, but I mean, really, I don't know. It's all been denied.
Well, there was a guy on TV.
Too much information.
His wife was asked by 3 doctors when she went in to put DNR on the form. There were 3 doctors, and they apologised afterwards. She was only 74.
I think if anybody over 70 should have a DNR. You're not going to survive it for an ITU.
You're off the Christmas card list.
There's a truth to it.
Let's put this into perspective. We don't know how people can actually cope with things. And when Kathleen, my wife, was given 9 days to live, we brought her out of the hospital out of Marie Curie after 22 days. But that was 2011. She died in 2018. Just the end of the day, you just got to fight it.
Oh, absolutely.
We only got one life.
I tell you, my I'm not quite sure why we're talking about DNR, but my experience of DNR is people think that means you're actively going to kill them. No, it doesn't.
No.
And the other thing that people think is after resuscitation, you're going to be 25 again. Oh, no, you're not. You're going to be the same as you are, if not worse.
Yeah. Any chance we can get under some photography?
Well said, Ed.
Sorry.
Right. Shall we get starting then?
It's getting better.
Yeah.
Thank you, Gerben, for organising it again. And yes, let's get started.
Let's get started.
Where's all the booze gone?
Right. I've got mine.
I've got mine.
I'm free.
For good health.
I've got mine.
Yes, everybody keep well.
Refresh.
Yeah. Yes. Alcohol gets rid of the germs.
It does.
I'm not sure about that, but it
doesn't. It doesn't.
I'll second that.
Are you drinking out of the bottle, Ed?
I've got a glass of beer and a glass of wine ready. It saves me getting up to fill a glass.
Hope you've got a bucket nearby, Ed.
Yeah.
Right. I am going to share my screen, and this time I'm going to do it slightly different because I'm going to just not mute everybody, just see how that works compared to the week before.
Oh, it was lovely last week, go in mind.
Say again, Ed?
It was lovely last week when they had the mute on.
Was it? Well,
it worked very well.
If there's a few people... If there's a few people say, right, I want everybody mute, and I can do that, right? But let's try it. Right.
That's me.
Can mute David Richardson.
that will take some doing.
10 minutes each, come on.
Well, is there something I'll tell you later? Sorry.
Listen, I've got to watch episode 4 of The Crown yet.
There we are. First one. Everybody see the screen, right?
Yep.
Okay.
I thought I'd show you some photographs of my recent trip to Dubai. And I've thrown these together rather quickly, but never mind. So Dubai was extremely exciting and hot and sunny all the time we were there. And we really loved it. And there was, in a lot of the back streets, there were this sort of thing. And it took me a while to get this picture without a horde of people. Anyway, so this shows the brightness of the sunshine, and these are the shadows giving. I thought there were cow heads and horns and things, but that's my imagination for you. So this is one of the back streets in one of the quieter parts of Dubai.
Is that down by the creek, David?
Yes, it is. It is.
Oh, I recognise it.
Yep. Next one, again. So you're going to see a few, and I tried a bit of street photography, not that I've done much of this before, but I've tried it. Here we go. So I took this because the sign in the window amused me.
No sitting
while they were busy sitting. And it always amuses me how they can sit on the honkers like that, which I just can't do. But it's a different, must be an ethnic thing that their pelvises are slightly different. Anyway,
There were a lot of miners in their days used to sit like that.
Yes. I just kind of do it. Next, Gerben, please. So this is the trolley pullers. These trolleys they're sitting on. This is their brake. And they were loaded up with material for these material backstreet shops, which beautiful coloured material. And they were having their break at this point. Okay, Gerben, thank you.
Okay.
And those of you who've been to Dubai, I don't know, there's the gold souk, where amazing amount of gold, and you just can't believe that everything you see is gold. And this is one of the shops where you can see under the glass bench there, the gold underneath, and all the necklaces and everything behind is all pure gold.
Did they not mind these photographs being taken in the gold souk?
Well, they didn't when I was there. I wasn't told off. I took a lot. Anyway, there's a lot of people about. And the price of gold is set by the country, United Arab Emirates. And so, depending whether it's 8 carat gold or 16 carat gold or whatever, and the price of the article has to represent that, except that they can charge on the workmanship of the jewellery on top of the gold.
And there's no tax, David, is there?
No, there's not. But still, I can tell you how much we bought, because it wouldn't take many people to guess, right? No, anyway, next one again, because next one's another gold picture. Now, this one, another man in the shop. Now, look at those necklaces behind. Well, I don't know what you call them, breastplates or something. All pure gold.
So how much were they, David?
I have no idea. I didn't go anywhere near.
You didn't bring one back?
I bought half a dozen for all the family.
Mm-hmm. They don't put the price in the window, do they, Dave?
No, they don't. There's no prices available. So I didn't actually engage in conversation, not wanting to, because they're very good at encouraging you to buy. Let's put it like that.
Years ago, when I was in Saudi, and I went to the gold souk there, and there they weighed the gold, whatever it was, a bracelet or something like that. Yeah. But they didn't charge anything for the workmanship. All you paid was the gold weight.
Okay, well, that's the slightly different now, is they did, there was so much per weight of the gold, and then an additional cost for the workmanship.
Yeah.
Okay, next one, Gerard, please. Now, I haven't done much of long exposure photographs, but this is one of these entertainments in the middle of the desert after you've been shaking around on a Land Rover going over sand dunes. And so this was a dancer with lights on his dance spinning around. And so this was a half a second exposure. Now, I'm delighted with these because it's sort of, I didn't have a tripod and it's sort of propped up on my wife's handbag and various other things I could find to try and keep the camera still. So the next photo, I'll show you the chap who was dancing. Next one, Gary.
David, the back top, he must have been going some.
He was flying around, spinning around, and you can see he's the light on his tunic and the light on this, well, it was a circle of material which is lying on the stage there. That was him spinning around on the previous photograph.
So on the first one, David, you couldn't even see his legs. He must have been off
go
the ground.
Go back, Gerben, can you? Yeah.
Where's his legs?
Well, they must be there somewhere. Indeed. Okay, Gerben.
Dervishes, aren't they?
Yeah, absolutely. Next, Gerben, because then the fire eaters came on next, and so here's this lot. So here's me again trying with long exposures. Again, about a half a second exposure. That was quite effective, really, because you can see the chap nearest the camera, you can see how he's moved from vertical to horizontal between in the half a second I've taken the half a second exposure. Anyway, that was me playing with longer exposures.
Well done, Div. Well done.
Very good.
Next, please.
Yeah,
now, those of you who have been to Dubai probably have seen this. This is one of the main roads in Dubai. And the bridge over the river, and at night they make it into a waterfall. So this is the water pouring off the bridge into the river. Now it's obviously man-made and pumped, and then the next picture, you can see the water right across the whole bridge. Next one, Gerben, thank you. Yeah. So, and so this was very effective, and it was quite noisy as well as an entity to see and hear. It was entertaining. Anyway, we could do that off the Tyne Bridge. Next, please. And the other thing about it, obviously, with the sun and all these fantastic high-rise blocks, the reflections, everywhere you looked, you got phenomenal reflections. And sometimes it was difficult to know what was real and what was reflection. So you can see the reflection in the roughly the middle of the picture there with the flat balconies on each side. And next, there's quite a few reflections here coming up. And here... So all this glass panel of this veranda nearest the camera is all reflections in it, and the high rise behind are genuine.
Is that the marina, David?
Yes, that's down by the marina, indeed. Yep, next, please. And this is interesting because that's me and my wife at the front there with reflections, obviously. And sometimes you've got more than one reflection of the same thing. So I've got us twice, and the building behind is obviously twice and distorted by the glass. So sometimes you saw several reflections of your of whatever you were looking at, which at times was a bit unnerving, really. But there was just reflections everywhere. And the green water behind is the marina, yes.
I like the reflections because sometimes they made you look a bit thinner than you really were. So I always look for those reflections to take photographs.
Sometimes it works the other way as well.
Yeah, but you don't take those photographs.
Okay, good. Is that the last one or is there one more? Can't remember.
It is.
Yes, that's the last one.
Okay.
All right, thank you. Any questions, anybody? Anyway, that was March in Dubai. I got back just before flights stopped.
Sure, David.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks, David.
Another David.
Well, this is a mixture of old and new, but virtually the same the same viewpoint. Last week, Carol and Kathleen were on about Bamburgh and the exposure problem of the castle being in silhouette. If you in the middle of summer, or in this case middle of May, early summer, if you get up at about 3-4 o'clock and get there for 4:30, the sunlight lights up the castle rather than have a black silhouette. And this is a scan from a slide. And the next one.
Good light on that.
This is another scan from a slide, but back to that problem where you get the castle in silhouette, a virtual silhouette. Because this is winter time, obviously, but it's just a case of waiting for the waves to be the right shape. In this case,
only because I've put the headphones on.
In this case, an S shape, but. Yeah. This was a fairly wide-angle lens, but I just managed by keeping the sun, the direct sunlight, out of my composition, i.e. behind the castle, I just managed to have an exposure where I got some detail in the dunes in front of the castle. And this is the vital thing. Once the sun comes above the horizon, you've had it. You just get a silhouette. I think like the next one, which you're going to see, which is an earth scan from 20 years ago. And you can see I've had to expose for the sky at the expense of the castle's in jet black silhouette. You just get a shape of it.
That's not about the castle, that one, that's about the sky, isn't it?
Yeah, because what I've done, I've kept a very low horizon because it was all about a powerful sky. But I had to expose for the sky. And this time, there's no post-exposure of light and shadows and highlights and sort of moving the sliders. Once you press the button, as some of the older members will know, that's it, you've got it. It's on a transparency, which this was.
David.
The next one.
David, hang on before I leave that. when you digitise the transparency, is it possible to pull any detail out of the shadow, or is that?
No, you're saying, no. Once, not at all. That's what I was saying, Peter. Once you press the button in these days, as some of the lads will tell you, if you are doing like projected images, which I was at the time, these are all transparencies. Once you press that button on the morning of the picture, that's it. You can't do anything with it.
If you try to do anything with the shadows, it'll go very
clean. I don't want time, please.
Kevin, I realise that looking at this picture here, which is just a copy of the slide, you can't see any detail. We're just wondering if when he digitised it, he could pull any detail out of the darkness.
Not really, no.
Actually,
all I got then, Peter, was just a pile of noise where the dark area is.
Yeah.
If I tried to lift those shadow areas digitally, it was just all noise. It's terrible.
Right.
So I just had to sacrifice it. So the next image.
It's like copying a JPEG, really.
Yeah. And the next image was taken, which just goes to prove the point. This was taken a couple of months ago at Carol's birthday, whereas you can see, with this being a raw file, I've got that detail and redness in the sky. But if you look at the castle in the dunes, you can see the sand, you can see the modeling on the side of the castle. And that's because you've got those magic sliders with raw. You can actually bring your shadows up without getting noise.
One of the things, David, with digital, if you remember with transparencies, you had about 4 or 5 stops of detail in the transparency, yeah. And you've got something about 11 or 12 in digital.
Yeah.
It's incredible the amount of detail you can pull back.
I know, it's absolutely... Well, those last two images are virtually the same content, red sky in a morning castle.
Yeah.
But I've managed digitally to avoid having a black shape for Bamborough Castle.
Yeah.
And the next one. Same morning, but just a little bit earlier before the redness got into the sky. This is just with all the purples. And again, like that one of ebb tide Bamborough with the S shape, you've just got to get your boots wet. But it was all about keeping sort of texture in the sky and cloud detail, but also having some life in the foreground of the wet sand. Golden rule about going to places like this in the morning is study the tide tables before you go. You want that wet sand. You want the tide to be out. And the next one. This was taken a couple of years ago, same place. And again, digitally, I've managed to get lovely detail in the castle, and I've my boots wet and waited just for that surf to come in. This is taken about 2.5 years ago. If you look closely at the castle, you can see the nighttime lights are still left on.
I was once told August was the best time to take Bamborough Castle.
Well, it depends how much. Now that we're living the digital age, I suppose you're right, Kathleen. What I've done here, this was taken in February, and the sun's coming up behind the castle, so low in the sky, early February. But if you notice, I've got detail in the castle, simply because I could work on the raw file and bring that detail out. You couldn't do it with film.
Yeah. I like that one. It's nice.
Yeah, I like that.
That's quite fabulous, huh?
And the next one. But it's not just Bamborough I visit early in the morning. 12 years ago, I was working in northern France in the city of Rennes, and an hour's drive away, just like Newcastle to Bamborough. An hour's drive away was Le Mont Saint-Michel. And again, I've driven up in the dark, and then at about 7 o'clock, the only sunlight of the day was right at 7:10. This is the very early morning light, and that was the only sunlight I got. luckily the night sky's behind them, the Mont, the Abbey, and I've got Le Mont Saint-Michel with some warm sunlight on it.
It's lovely, right?
Yeah.
I've never seen a better picture of that than that. I've never seen a better picture. There's plenty of
Thanks
brilliant.
Very much.
It's
well worth putting the alarm clock on for.
Yeah.
And
lovely place, though, isn't it? It's a lovely place.
Yeah, well, and then my last one is further afield, another sunrise shot. And again, a perfect example of making sure you take a picture before the sun comes above the clouds. And this is the Mereki boulders on the east coast of South Island of New Zealand. And I just waited for the water to just come round the bottom of that boulder, the Mereki boulder, and make these rings in the shape of the water just to fill the foreground in. But this is just, I got this picture with Carol simply because of the years and years and years I'd been to Bamborough and Dunsinborough and Lindisfarne in the mornings and knew that I had to take the pictures before the sun come up. But you get that lovely warm glow just before the sun shows. You've only got minutes before that happens. So there's a few shots of Bamborough, a touch of northern France, and then 15,000 miles away.
Thank you.
All in the early morning.
David, that was lovely.
Thank you. Yeah.
Good.
Very good.
Right, what we've got here is we're looking at sort of, can you hear me all right? I'm not muted, am I?
Yeah.
No,
we have a touch of nostalgia. I mean, people talk about all this nostalgia with vinyl records coming back, which were rubbish in the day. And we're talking now about film, photography and film. Now, these are, I sorted out 10 images which were taken in the late 1980s, 1990s, when I was very, very young, obviously. These are scan negatives, which I scanned about a number of years ago, but did nothing with them. So with a bit of time on my hands, I've decided I had to go at them. I've done some contacts, so whether I print them out, I don't know. I do have some black and white darkroom prints of them. But what I would say is that I think they're a bit, I'll put it this way, digital is much, much more clinical than film photography. So this was at the AC, and a guy was demonstrating tungsten light, and we got the chance to photograph these people. So that was, I think I scanned at 200 or 400, something like that. But this one, I found as I've gone through that, a lot of them are very, very grainy. And I've just put that down to the amount of light that was probably available at the time. So that was just a model with, I think, it has to be a wig, I think. Nobody has hair like that, certainly not me. Next, please, Gordon. This is the, you see the difference in the grain here. Why, I don't know. They're all 35mm negatives. This was the Café du Monde in New Orleans, where you go and have this horrible chicory coffee and some bagnettes or whatever they call them. And this guy used to pester you with the saxophone. He could hardly walk there and play the saxophone. But that was a wonderful place, the cafe you went to, which was just beyond below the levee at in the French Quarter in New Orleans. A great the Café du Monde. Next, Gordon, please. Now, I think you probably all recognise this. This was the Lloyds Building in London. Then this was the Lloyds Building when you could actually get near it. You could actually go inside or climb around the outside, where now it's all fenced off with security people. We were down in London last year, and it's a very, at the moment, unless you want sort of a skyline shot, very, very difficult to photograph. Whereas in the 80s, 90s, you could get fairly well close to it. So that was the Lloyds Building in the City of London.
just shapes and shadows and different patterns more than anything else. Next curtain, please. God, I mean, this is absolutely awful for quality. This was the Heineken Beer Festival that they had in
That's why the quality's bad. Too much Heineken.
This is Toy Wilcox on stage. This festival used to be at Leeds every year, I think probably around here, Park or somewhere, and they decided to have it at Gateshead, and it was held where the actual the Gateshead Stadium is there now. And I can remember getting there earlier, the crowds weren't very supportive, so it only was there for 1 year, and I was managed to get right up the stage, and Jules Holland, I think, was headliner, but Toya Wilcox was on. She kind of sang now and she couldn't sing then, but again, good opportunity.
That's
this is the same festival, and this is a group called the Alligators. And they, for those who can remember the Animals, the guy on the right is Hilton Valentine. He was one of the guitarists in the Animals. But this one isn't too bad. The difference in the quality of the images. So that's the Alligators.
It's good. My sister-in-law used to go out briefly with Hilton Valentine.
Right. Oh, that's interesting. I mean, they were great in that time. But I think it's I do quite like this because what it shows is that. And all the years I've been doing photography, nothing really much has changed. I like them sort of dark and grainy, so my sort of outlook hasn't particularly changed, I don't think. Next curtain, please. This is obviously Appleby, when it was a bit more of a friendly place. And this was on, I don't know what they call it, but this is on the run where they used to run the horses for sale. Just two young lads in the buggy or whatever it is. Just interesting that one guy's not interested and the rest are looking for the next horse to come. So that was Appleby, probably, I don't know, 1990, something like that. Next,
please. May I make a comment? He's got a puncture. He's got a puncture.
Yeah.
It is what it is, isn't it? Next curtain, please. This is Beamish. I've never actually seen this one since. This was an old steam crane that I had there. I don't know if they still have it. I don't know if it works still or whatever, but I've never seen it since. And this was just a guy, they were lifting the railway lines, I think, at the time. But again, even with film photography, you could get the effect of steam. Once it's scanned, it's very easy on the computer, whereas you don't have a pile of paper in the corner of the dark room. So that's Beamish steam crane. Next slide, please. This was the Jumpin' Hot Club at the, at least there used to be a theatre. There's an alley goes up past the Law Courts building in Newcastle. And I can't remember the name of the theatre. It might have been the Side Theatre or whatever it was. But this was a lady called Little Moore. And she was actually on at the Americana at Gateshead last year. And she looked old then, and she looked horrendously old now. So I don't know how she must be really getting on. But that was Little Moore at this gig there. Dark place. And when you walk into some of these rooms, you think it's quite light till you get the camera to your eye. And I think when you had a sort of fixed ISO, it'd be probably ISO 400, and have to up it to 3200, and then just. Roy probably knows more about the techniques in the dark room than me, and sometimes you just take what you get. So that was Little Moore. Still on the go. Next curtain. This is quite like this. This is one of my favourites, and this was a shot I tried through. This is the Odeon Metro Station in Paris, and I just saw this the advert at the back, and this lady sitting on the and there was a train going by. And it was a peculiar experience because on this line, the train stopped at the same place every time. And the doors opened and he went through the gates on the train. And I thought, well, how good are these people? Then I realised that was a driverless train. and they stopped at the same, you know, they stopped at the same spot every time. So that was the Paris Metro. Bits of all sorts in there, a bit mismatched, but a bit of movement, but obviously a bit of grain, but yeah.
I really like that, Ed. That's lovely.
Yeah, I like that.
I'm going to try printing it, see what I've got. I'm going to see what they look like. It's a nice little project to do. Next, good. This is probably one of my favourite photographs, and this was Parc Güell in Gaudí's Parc Güell in Barcelona. This is peculiar, like every building it is, very peculiar. And there was loads and loads of these columns, and every one of the columns was at a different angle, typical Gaudí. But I heard this guy playing the flute or whatever it is, and I finally found out where he was, but there was absolutely loads and loads of tourists, so I had to hang on a bit till I got rid of the tourists, and I got the shot. So that's one of my all-time favourites. I don't quite know what to do with it, because if you look at on a close inspection, there's a bit of a halo around the guy's trousers, so that would absolutely drive me mad. So I'm going to have another go at reprocessing and maybe try and print it. Bit of spotting in there, obviously get the hairs off the negatives, blood scanning, and you realise how dirty, and Peter will tell you, you realise how dirty your negatives were. But the spotting brush went mad in Photoshop. I think that's the last one, Gordon, is it?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, so back to nostalgia. I did
thank you, Ed. Thank you, Ed. That was great.
Thank you.
Very
good, Ed.
Cheers, everybody.
Cheers.
Red,
cheers.
What's Peter drinking there?
Huh?
Oh,
Stein. I just thought I'd join you guys and have a beer.
All right.
Just a little then.
I think it'll be pain all night.
All right.
Okay.
Before you start, can I tell you something? People are painting these little stones, and one of my sons said his friend found one, and on the front it said something like "Save the NHS." And when he turned, just now, F off, you go home.
Right. Well, one day,
what does that mean then?
I decided I would. I would go out for a walk, and I took out an old video camera that I hadn't actually charged the battery up for 11 years. So I took it out. So the quality is not brilliant on these. These are just one or two extractions from it. But just going down to the river from where I live in Shotley Bridge, and on the parapet of the river, there's a stone there, and it says, "Be brave." And I thought that's very apt, because Roy actually circulated a poem by, or somebody, was it Les? And his last words in that were, "Be brave." So I took its picture. So I apologize for the quality, but that's nice. So next one, please, Gervin. Just to show you how busy it is on the roads nowadays. Sale Pepe there, some of our restaurants is shut up. This was the only sign of movement was the sole cyclist going through the village. Okay, Gervin. That's the road going up from a village which goes up to the hospital. Normally there are cars all the way up there parked both sides just about. And you've got to pick your way through. But no, not now.
It's all busy with the Chinese takeaway, isn't it?
The Chinese takeaway actually has a sign on the door saying it is open. It has the instructions on about placing your order. Only one person allowed in the shop at any one time. And you don't actually go up to the counter until they shout your name out and say your meal is ready. So they are still serving. So, okay, next one, Gervin. Now, this is one of the pictures that, you know, a short while ago, you could have been people would look at you and probably report you. But it's the first time I've really been past the playground here, and it's eerily quiet. There's no one there, not a child in sight. So, thank you, Gerben. Next one. Sorry about this. The quality is not brilliant. The river is alive and awake, and it's rather, it's quite nice. This is a nice part. Just before the bridge, it goes tumbling over one or two boulders and rocks. And I must go down there when I'm able to with a tripod and my 35mm camera and actually try to take some longer exposures. Okay, thank you.
There are holes in rocks.
This is another one that you'd be frowned on if they caught you capturing a picture. It's the school entrance. This is the junior school, and it's eerily quiet. It's closed. It isn't even being used for key worker education. It's just dead and quiet. Thank you, Gerben. Now, just to show you that takeaways are actually operating, this is the sign I saw down at the Crown and Cross Swords. I think someone must have had a few of the bottles before he actually did the sign. And it's not just the preferred, it's the available as well.
Available, yeah.
That was my favourite picture of the day, and it was the end of the walk. Thanks, Kevin.
Thank you, Fred.
I'll do.
Right. Kevin on next.
Okay to go, Gavin?
Yes, you're okay.
Okay, Gavin, cheers. You're not going to see very much new from me because I've only been out about three times since just before Christmas due to a bit of ill health. And then, but never mind, these are just the ones that I took, I went down at the St. Nicholas's Cathedral just to give a little bit of a progress report. If you're a bit disorientated by where you are, the entrance, the two entrances are just up to your left there, and where this channel's dug was about where the back end of the pews were. They'd lift all the ledger stones from here, and then they were told to stop by the people who have the influence on what goes on in the cathedral. Purely and simply because they wanted to make it, it didn't get damaged. Hence, you notice the box sections around the bottom of the cupboards and down the sides and around there. So when I was in, that's what they were, the work that they were doing, was boxing things up and whatnot. I really wanted to go down and try and get some action pictures, but they weren't doing any lifting that day. So this is what, as far as getting it lifted, the ledger stones from this area. And if you go to the next one, please, Gerben. And this is where they had been storing them on battens. That picture I took before was just over to your right and to the behind, just where you can see. They're storing them down on battens like this, ready for to place them. I was talking to the foreman and he said it's just like a big jigsaw. There's no pattern of where they're actually, they have got a pattern of where they're going to, but they're going to have to lift some stuff up before they can put these one in. So he said it's a very complex job. But again, as I say, I went down to try and cut some action shots of the men working and lifting these things, but it just wasn't to be because of the work that they were involved in. Go to the next one, Gerben, please.
Kevin, is this work classed as, with them having a time window, are they still working? Is this classed as like essential work?
I would think, David, it would be classed as non-essential work, to be honest with you, the inside, just doing an inside of a cathedral. I don't know, that was going to be one of my questions for Peter before I moved on. He's probably in a position better to find out these sort of things. I know I think most of us, myself, Peter and probably Kathleen as well, had decided we better not go because it was starting to get a little bit dangerous, can you say, for travelling there. I had to go down. I was going down in the bus and this sort of thing, so I didn't want to mix. And then Peter got word from the cathedral that they were stopping us from going in because of the obvious. And I think because it's non-essential work, that probably the work in there will have been stopped by now. They had a target of getting this finished by the Easter celebrations of 2021. So if they're not working in there and it's put their program back, the chances are we can still get in and get action shots and maybe do a bit of catch-up. But this one here shows the lifting gear that they're using. It's just all manual, apparently. The ledger stones again are just down front of the window there. But it all is manual lifting. And even as again,
they use that A-frame to lift them with a block and tackle. But if you see them actually starting the process, they're just using crowbars and bits of wood.
Just to lift them up.
Very strong backs.
I'm always on the top of that.
Foreman was saying it. Just listen for the crack when he back goes.
But the four pictures, manual, person speaking is on. And then they're just...
I've only got one person, and that's the person that's speaking.
Do you realise it's we can hear you talking to each other?
Mm. Yeah. So therefore, this is the lifting gear that they're using.
I haven't heard.
Again, you see the box section around the bottom of the column there for protection and whatnot. So those were the last ones that I took, and they're of the project that's going on. I would presume it will be stopped. Like, but we'll get a bit of catch up on this one a bit later on, because I would like people. In for the records for St. Nicholas's Cathedral. So that was the last time I was out with
them.
So the next ones are all just, I picked them as a mix and match off the hard drive just to put something together for this evening. This one here, this was up the lake. This my wife went, it must be a year gone this last winter. This is the top of Derwent Water, just outside of Keswick. And when we go for reflections like this, I mean, it was such a still day. Normally you do get the mirror images and I've got stacks of them. But what caught my eye with this one was just a little ripple on the lake, which breaks that sharp image up. And I think it's much more suitable. I don't know what you think, but I think it's a much more suitable way of reflecting in the water.
Yeah, it's lovely. I really like it.
Yeah. Next one, Peter Urbanrunner. This one we took at Ambleside when me and my wife were up one, went up for a break. We'd been out for a drink and a meal and whatnot and was coming back. What caught my eye about this one was the rim lighting around the clouds up on the left-hand side. So about 9 or 10 o'clock at night, I dashed in, got my camera, my tripod, and I liked the way the reds were still showing up in the water along the silhouettes. I pulled a little bit of detail out of the mountainsides and whatnot up there, just to give it so it wouldn't be a total black reflection. But that was Ambleside. Next one, please, Gervin. I took this one at Fountains Abbey on one of our days out. And I was just saying to my wife early on today, I'm a bit intrigued, maybe somebody here might know why they've got big, strong columns up such a narrow building. What was the building used for? I've tried going onto the Fountains Abbey website and they don't give you very much information about it. Maybe when we were there, maybe we could have gotten some information. But I just was intrigued as to what this was used for. Why did they need such big, strong columns up the middle? But never mind, that's a wonder. If anybody knows, that'd be great. Like, but I'll try and find that out in the future. Okay, Gervin, next.
Is it possible it was an arched ceiling because there's corbels on the right?
Mm-hmm.
If you look at the bottom, there's an arch. You can see two arches in shadow on the wall.
There is, yes. It could have been.
So they might have been the pillars to hold the arches up.
Yeah, good point. I'd never noticed them. So, yeah. Next one, please, Gervin. The last four that I'm showing are from one of my many visits to the Farne Islands. I took this one of the Kittiwake with its two young, And it's just as well, I think, the mother was there, because below that nest, there was a drop of about 200 feet just sheer down. If those chicks just happened to get out of that nest and wander a bit like juniors do, it might be pretty horrific. I should imagine it does happen. But she was keeping a pretty good eye on them, and I'm there. Next one, please, Gervin. Not quite sure what these two characters are. They were took a great interest in what I was doing, and then when I stooped down to take a picture of them, they were giving us the beady eye. Does anybody know what sort of chicks they are? I haven't a clue myself, but they just looked quite a... Yeah, the young ones of something or other, but I'm not quite sure what.
Is this in concert?
No, they don't have any of them in concert.
Mutants.
They don't like the snow up here, so I think they stay over in the Farne Islands.
No, you got it wrong. They used to have big feathers, but somebody came along and plucked them.
Maybe so, Peter. I never thought about that.
They've got webbed feet.
They have, yeah. They're obviously a seabird-like, but I have no idea what sort of birds they are.
Turkeys.
Yeah. Maybe it was nearer Christmas than I thought. Next one, please, Gervin. It's the razorbill. I think I might have shown this one. Members' night down at the club. He was quite happy to sit there and pose for us and whatnot. And I'm always intrigued by, look at where the eye is on a razorbill. It's nearly right at the end of its beak there, just at the start of here. And it made a good picture of that, and he was quite happy to sit there and pose and let me take pictures of him and whatnot. So
exposure spot on, Kevin.
It was quite I had plenty of time to take the exposure to do it, David. He just sat there for long, you know, so he was quite cooperative, can I say?
Because those birds which have white and very dark plumage, the exposure there's sun all around them. So you've done a good job here.
Yeah, well, I normally go shooting pictures like this. I normally go one stop down to try and get the highlight detail in, knowing I can pull shadows and things out. Like, it's much more difficult to do it the opposite way around. That's just my way of doing it.
Yeah.
And the last
Sorry,
go on, Peter.
It's an unfinished painting. They run out of black paint.
Possibly they have, yeah. This is the last one. I'm sure anybody that's been to the Inner Farns has probably encountered these little characters, the Arctic terns. They aggressively protect their nests, their young, and their eggs to the point. When I took this one, I was out there when I was in Amra Club up at concert. Where's Linda at? I was up there with George Legend and a few more of us went there, and George had his daughter's riding hat on, and I always put a hard back book in my hat, because purely and simply, if anybody's been there, you'll know that these things can peck hell out of you.
I think I was there that day, Kevin.
Were you?
Yeah.
I can't remember who else was there. I think I did. Did I not put this into a competition? And the judge said, when you're shooting birds, you should always be able to show the eye. Well, I've never quite mastered the technique of getting a black eye in a black head yet. So if anybody can tell me how to go about that. He also said that it should have been a sharper image. Well, I disagreed with that, because I like movement and the wings of these sort of things. And I just sort of took it up. It was more looking by than good management.
If you're happy with it, Kevin, you stick with it.
Well, that's right, but I just like a little bit of movement in the wing.
Yeah.
Just to show it's flying, whereas if you had a rich higher shutter speed, you would have just gotten a frozen image in the sky, and I don't think it would have had the same impact. So I prefer it the way it is, but he didn't.
I once put an eye in a blackbird on a telegraph wire with a cocktail stick and a bit of iodine in a print, and I was quite pleased with it, really. The judge, he didn't know what to make of it. He said he wasn't quite sure about the eye.
Yeah.
But that wasn't too bad from a judge.
I did
the cherry on the end, right?
I tried putting an eye into it just in Photoshop, and it just didn't look right. I thought I'd leave it the way it was. It was spoiling the image for me. Like, so that's, I'm quite happy with it.
The eye worked quite well, but the problem was to know where to put it. Because there was so little eye. I went to the garden there to look at one or two blackbirds and just before I decided where to put it.
However, that's by 10. Thanks for looking.
Well done, Kevin.
Thank you very much, Kevin.
Hi, these are mine. I hope I haven't had these up before. I can't, I sort of can't remember. I've just plucked them from a set that I had on the computer. So please shout if you feel you've seen them before.
You spent a lot of time, Linda, for this auspicious occasion.
Well, I should have sent an email around saying bring your sunglasses because they're sort of all a little bit bright, and I thought Peter and Ed might need to leave the room.
That's what the moon looks like after half a bottle of
See you next week, Linda.
This is from a practical night that we had at concert once when we were playing about with oil on water on top of a polarized light source, and then there's a glass put on top of it so it shot through the bottom of a tumbler. And I just liked all the circles, the little ones of the oil and then the concentric circles of the glass and all the colours. I thought I'd go colourful today after being sombre for the last lot I showed at Wickham. Thanks, next one.
Linda?
Pardon?
How did you get all the colours on that last one?
The colours, that happens automatically with the oil on the water when you put it on a polarised light source. That's what you get. And this is a real old one.
Something's gone wrong on the screen.
This.
Screen, isn't it?
You would never you would never guess what this is because it has been coloured. I was fiddling around, I discovered the colour channels and I've played with the colour channels quite a bit. But this is tubes of olive oil that was for sale in a shop somewhere. I can't remember where it was. It's years and years ago. And you bought the oil by pouring it out of these tubes, putting your little bottle underneath. But I just loved the way the light was on it, and it made all these funny patterns, and it just reminded me of a barcode, which is why I took it. Thanks. Next one, Peter.
I like it. Nice.
This is a leaf, and I was really pleased with this. It's one of my favorite shots. And there's light behind it. It's on a light, sort of like a homemade light box, which really helped get all the detail out of it. And to get what sort of feels so close in with just my regular camera, I was really pleased with that. And I like the dual colors, the yellow and the bright green just appealed to me.
I love that.
What photographs you take with your irregular camera?
Pardon me, Ed?
What photographs do you take with your irregular camera?
Oh, you'd be surprised.
That wasn't with a macro lens, was it, Linda?
No, it wasn't. I don't have a macro lens. It is cropped in quite a bit, though. Next one, Peter.
Gerben.
Oh, Gerben. Sorry. I forgot who was in control here.
All right.
Sorry. This is the inside of a hotel that I stayed in once in Singapore. And it kept going different colours up in the rafters. So you could have it blue or red or green or any colour you liked if you waited long enough. I just liked the diagonals on it was what attracted me to the composition. And then again, the light, just the colour of it was a bit different. I like the contrast between the black side and the green side as well. Thanks, Gerben. That is just, again, the colours, the yellow and green always appeals to me. and just the out of focus nature of it. There's really nothing sharp in it at all, which is partly what appealed to me. Thanks, Gerben. Right. This is a block of flat. These are tower blocks, and we get challenges at concert in a homework club, and one of the homeworks that we had was we were all given the same photograph, and we had to do whatever we wanted with it, so that you ended up with something totally different from what you started with. So this is high-rise blocks cropped in really close, and then playing about with the filters that I found on a Photoshop, and I was getting some really wonderful effects. I found, this isn't one of them, but I found something as well where you could extend the end pixel, and that did wonderful things. I haven't included that here, but this is sort of like the swirl and ripple thing was doing nice effects, and the colours that it brought out, those sort of chromatic aberration colours were getting prominent in it. I had quite fun. Thanks, Gerben. This is the oil and water again, the same shot sort of, but without the glass on top. It just gave wonderful effects. I think everybody really enjoyed that that playabout, and people did get some amazing shots from it, and the colours that you got were fantastic.
Thanks, it looks more like a graphic design, doesn't it, than a photograph?
Yeah. It is, but there's apart from increasing the contrast, there's really nothing done to that. That is what you get.
You're right about the sunglasses, Linda.
Yeah, I knew.
My eyes are aching.
Where does it pick the colour up from?
It comes from the, you know how you, when you look at oil on water, you do get that, you do get a sort of a coloured film. And when you put a polarised light source behind it, it just seems to magnify that.
It's brilliant. You have to get us a polarised light source.
From a laptop screen. We'll do it.
Laptop screen? Never. Just with a plain colour on. A white light.
That is definitely the virus thing without hooks on.
thanks, Gerben.
Ooh.
Wow. This again was just playing around in Photoshop to see what you could do, and this is a zoom thing, a spectral zoom. And then just with sort of a little bit cut out and moved around with one of the tools. And again, it just the brightness of it appealed to me, and the fact that it was really sort of just jaw-droppingly bright, which is not like me in normal photography. I like sort of something that's a little bit more subtle, but then all of this on the other hand was just something so different and fun to play around with.
Linda, there's nothing subtle about that.
No, there isn't. But that's not usually my style. My style is usually much softer colours. Photography, I tend not to oversaturate, but this, it just sort of gave me vent on the other side of things, and I sort of got carried away, I think.
Linda, I think it's just your yoga side coming out.
Yeah, maybe.
I've been doing similar things to that, Linda, just quite recently, you know, playing about. I think if you put that back into Photoshop and put a twirl on it.
Yeah,
I've got quite a few. Actually, I'm using those screens.
So that'll keep you going, Gerben.
That'll come up brilliant.
Thanks, Gerben.
Right.
That's one way of staying awake.
Can we hang on for a few minutes here? this colour's giving me a headache. I'm going to have to get some paracetamol.
I should have said you should bring some paracetamols with you, Ed. This is ages old. And I've always, for some reason, I've always liked this shot. It's a church window done zoom with my zoom lens, just looking at it and moving the zoom through the focal distance range while you're taking the shot. And that's what I got. And I really did, at the time, I had no idea what I was doing. I was just playing about, but I've always liked this.
Wow.
Thanks, Gavin. That might be the last one. Oh, no. And then I've
been... a lot more different than we are.
I've been to a modern art exhibition and saw stuff like this as paintings. And coming back from that and just using, I mean, you can see bits of my other stuff that I've shown you. The spectral zoom is in there. There's some stuff from a Dali exhibition. The eyes are from a thing at a Dali exhibition. So lots and lots of various bits and pieces pulled together because at the time I was sort of practicing cutting things out and dropping them into stuff, and I was inspired by this modern art exhibition. So that's the weird thing that I ended up with.
Are very funny.
You thought what?
I thought I recognised those eyes.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
They I are think funny that's me.
Need to keep off the gin, Linda.
Yeah, I know.
Very
that's my lot.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Linda. Thank you. Before we move on, before Peter does his bit, Paul Hattam and I were talking about what to do over the summer when we're in lockdown, and Paul suggested that we do that. But in other words, send around a photograph and see what people do with Photoshop. What do you think people think of that? And give them a few weeks to do it, and then we'll look at all the images in a few weeks' time.
Right,
yeah.
Do people like to do that project over this lockdown?
It went well last time. We had when Alan Fowler gave us an image, two images, I think. And we all did different things. Is that what you mean?
Yes.
No, it made a good night.
Paul, do you want to do that? Organise that thing of a picture, because it was your idea this time.
I know it was my idea. Just choose an image, isn't it? I'll have to give that a bit of thought.
And then you've just shown we're a couple of beauties to have a bit mess about with.
Yeah, I mean, what sort of image do you want? I mean, who's going to choose the image? That's the first what we'll have to decide, and then we'll send it around and decide a date when we're going to look at them in a few weeks' time.
Why not the CompSec?
You don't want to do it. You don't
well, unless you got a choice of a couple
around.
Yeah, Alan chose the old Wills building, not the Wills building, the old Littlewood building in Liverpool, which looked very uninspiring to me. But in the end, I found myself quite caught up with it and really enjoyed what I did.
Well, okay, we'll try that then. We just need to decide who's going to choose the photograph and send it round. Silence. I've never known silence in a meeting.
Cheers to do it, President.
Cheers.
Well, Linda's quite good at things like that, so she might have a better idea of what might work.
Who?
Linda.
Well, the one that we got, the one that we did it with from concert that I showed you my effort for there, was really that was something that was so uninspiring when you saw it, and you sort of looked at it and you really didn't know what the devil you were going to do with it, and it forced people to try to new stuff.
Exactly what we want, something to make people think and use their imagination and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, it needed to be something that was quite bland to start with, so that people.
Well, in concert, you've got plenty of scope. Ooh. Right, have we got a volunteer? Silence again.
Kevin will find you something.
I'll see if I can get an image or something together.
Okay, thank you, Paul. Right, okay, Paul's volunteer. Thank you very much.
Since I suggested it anyway, so.
And then just email it to everybody, and at the end I'll suggest a date. But in the meantime, let's move on. Peter, sorry, yeah. I interrupted you.
No, it didn't interrupt me.
Well, I stopped you in your tracks.
All right. There's a few pictures here that I've taken in the dark. I quite like taking pictures in the dark, which might explain my lack of success in some of the competitions. But this one was from the Tyne River one. I like it, but the judge thought it was too fussy, too much detail, which, I mean, that's what was there, so it didn't exactly add anything. Never mind, that's judges. next one, please.
Peter, what
just
was
a
that?
Minute, just a minute.
What?
Just a sec. That picture, you could use that in a competition. Count the lights.
Sorry?
Count the lights.
You're masochistic.
When's the closing date for that, Peter? Next year?
No. 2025.
So I should have maybe put something a bit more minimalist like this one in. You might recognise where it is. But just an idea I had, which... reasonable. Blue. Trying to look, get some minimalist pictures in the way that Linda was suggesting, I think. But anyway, that's one of my next one. Another one in the dark. This was one I took. I used one of the old Russian lenses, which cost us a few quid, well, about 30 quid or so. My idea was I thought I'll have the bike in focus and try with a big up F2 or something like that it was. And I wanted the paving gradually fading away in the distance, which it does quite nicely. I couldn't tell at the time when I took it because it was too dark, but so it worked from that point of view. And I put it in for a competition and actually got a third place, but the judge commented, well, the lights in the background out of focus, but it's still like the way it's and I thought, well,
it's just an observation. They are.
Yeah, that's
he was right.
They're meant to be out of focus, like, but never mind.
I hate judges. They just tell you what you can see.
Yeah. So next one, please. Yeah, this is a more minimal one. You probably recognise it. This is, where's it? It's from Tanfield, our one club visit last year. And this is the only picture I used from Tanfield, but it was actually outside the meeting because I got there about half an hour early and I saw this train. There's a beautiful blue sky. I thought, oh, I must take that. The sky had gone all grey and drab, sort of thing. So, highlighted and such like, and thought it's a nice tree, but I haven't done anything with it yet. So one of these days I might see it again. Next one, please. This is an old one of the bridge, which sort of was trying to do a high key version of it, which works quite nicely, I think. I like the high key around it and just brings out all the shapes, but never did anything, but I like it. And this is the one I've put my eye in as well, so to speak. Next one, please. This was Bambers. I started this picture last year because I was going past, I think it was on the way to the cathedral. I don't usually go down that way. And I saw the state Bambers I was in, and I thought, I should take a record shot of this either before it gets pulled down but before somebody tarts it up and makes it nice and bright and new again. And it was a real shambles. So I thought, I've got to have a sort of record shot of Bamber's in that condition. You can see the puke on the pavement and all sorts of things. So it looks really run down in colour. And actually tried changing to black and white. I thought, black and white, no, Peter Dixon might like it better. And it might look even older, but strangely enough, it looked better in black and white than it does in colour. So I left it in colour to give it the shabby look. And then I thought, what am I going to do with this record shot for my records, but no one will ever see it. So I thought, I'll put in for a competition. And then I thought, well, putting it for a competition, somebody will say, well, oh, it might be somebody better if somebody's walking past. So I chatted this young lady up in Beamish and asked her if she'd pose with her phone. She was busy taking loads of pictures with her iPhone. And fortunately, her boyfriend was with her at the time and he didn't object. So I just asked her, for looking at her phone, and hence the title was, So Where Is Bladen? But one judge didn't like it, another one liked it a bit better and got it highly commended. So it was worthwhile. But I don't know what's going to happen to Boundaries. Does anybody know?
Have you ever been to one of the concerts there? I went years ago.
Many years ago, yeah.
Yeah, it was absolutely fantastic.
Yeah. I hope it didn't fall apart, but still like that.
Sorry. And it's interesting too because there's a blue plaque on the that sort of signifies.
Oh, just saying it's the start of Bladen races.
But, oh, I see.
You can see the blue plaque on the wall and there's sick or something below it on the ground.
Oh, right.
it's a bit sad. Yeah. No, you'd think it was all the bars in the town, somebody would have done it up by now, but it's still like that, I believe. Next one. Oh, yeah. That's what I called a light in the darkness because I took a picture of this young lady or girl. I thought she had lovely smile and lovely hat and everything. Really lights up the day, so to speak. And she was at Beamish, and the tunnel is actually from a couple of years ago in a lead mine up. Was it Kilhope or somewhere like that?
Kilhope, yeah.
Yeah, so I thought it matched the dirty look she's got. So to speak. Next one. Oh yeah, this the set subject this year was a town and thereabouts. I know somebody made a criticism that a lot of the pictures were taken around the quayside, which was very true. So this is one. Up the south town, long way up, and I was good. I nearly put it in for the competition as a print, but my printer packed up, so I ran out of ink and I couldn't get the ink in time. It was a day I had to hand it in. I was going to print it, so I've never used it. So I thought I'd show it tonight. Does anybody know where it is?
Is it Prudder Castle?
No.
No.
Portridge. Dilston.
Dilston.
No, it's Featherstone Castle.
Right.
It's right up the south town. I just liked it because the guy's rebuilding the wall. It's just going to call it controlling the town or something like that. But anyway, I've made use for it. I don't think I'll print it out now because I'll never use it again. But there you go. Just something a bit different. Next, please. I'll pause. Oh yeah, this I call this Fingal's Cove. I don't know if you get the similarity, but it's up Northumberland somewhere. I just saw this cliff and I thought it reminded me of Fingal's Cave of the basalt columns. These aren't basalt obviously, but it's pretty rough anyway. So I took a snap of it as walking past and put the contrast up as much as I could. And does anybody think it looks like Fingless Cave?
No.
No.
No. Fingless Cave. No. Sorry.
Fingless Cave. Never mind. Next, please.
It's got a big car. It's got a big cave in the middle of it.
Well, no, I've said it's a cove, but it's leading into the cave. You see, the cave's off to the left.
Yeah. All right. I have been drinking. Sorry.
This one.
It's Beamish.
You're right. But I
self-portrait, is it?
I took it a while ago, and I'm doing it with it. I was sitting bored the other day and thinking, I'm sick of this lock-in, or what we're calling ourselves, self-isolation. And I thought, pig six, everyone's getting a bit pig sick of it, so here's a sick-looking pig.
And it's in isolation also, it's in lockdown because it needs a haircut.
Yeah, it was all out of order.
It's dead.
No, it wasn't dead. Could almost be, like, he's pretty sick.
I don't think I've ever seen a hairy pig.
Anyway, that's it, thanks. Sick as a pig.
Don't Peter.
You've got a few more weeks of lockdown yet.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
That was the lot. That's
Thank
it.
You very much, everybody. That was great. It was lovely to work this through. It's working very well, I think, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
It's good.
Can I just ask, what does Elaine think about Wickham Photographic Club?
Load of drunks.
Rubbish.
Load of drunkies.
It's nice to see everyone with a glass in their hand and staying cheerful.
Yes, it's an odd sample of the work if you just wanted to see what we're like on an average night.
beautiful images, really lovely. Yeah, thank you.
We're not all mad.
Just a little bit.
Yeah, but you have to these days. It helps.
Gerber knows, puts me on last, saves the best till last, don't you?
I just chronological order.
Okay.
Well done, Gerber.
Thank you, Gerben.
Yes. Well done,
Gerben.
Thank you. Pleasure. Before we all go, Paul, do you think you'll be able to find a photograph and email it out to everybody soon?
Give us a few days because I need to troll through me images to see if I'm finding images.
To be honest, I don't think it really matters what you produce really, because we're all going to distort it, aren't we? I was going to suggest and that we could have the meeting on the 1st of May, which is 4 weeks tonight, is it? 3 weeks tonight. 1, 2, 3. Show those photographs.
3 years.
And let's have Elaine taking part since she's all part of of the plan.
Is she paid up though?
I'm visiting for three sessions.
You've only gone to the two.
It's not a competition.
Thank you.
How about putting the 1st of May for the distorted photo? Well, photoshopped photo.
You're the president. You're the man in charge. You decide.
Paul, will you try to find a sharp one?
It will take about 5 weeks.
Don't suggest it, like.
I'll dig out as soon as I can.
Thank you, Paul.
Yeah.
Do you want to do the same next week? Have another effective members' night, which is working very well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And do the same next week, and hopefully get some of the people who haven't presented to.
Yeah, I've got something definite for next week.
Okay, we'll do the same again.
May I throw something? Open it up to other clubs and people, perhaps that would start to get a real. We're not isolated.
Yeah, I was hoping.
I feel pretty isolated, I'll tell you.
Start drinking.
I was hoping that we could get other people involved, you know, we've got the regulars here and other people who don't, haven't joined before, but hasn't worked out yet. But Alan's bits and pieces this week, I almost hope, might encourage some folk. So we'll see.
If they don't join, tell them we'll send a firing squad round.
What's happened to Malcolm? He was keen the first week, but he hasn't showed. Malcolm Boyd.
No idea.
He might be on holiday.
Well,
he lives up concert way, Linda. He's
he does.
Right up in the...
Emails take longer to get up here, you know, David.
So all right.
No, that, by the way, of concert.
I'm going to sign out, guys.
Press up there.
Can I ask a question?
Of course.
Does anybody know how Tom is? Have we heard from Tom? Is he okay?
Don't know.
Nobody knows.
Who was the last to speak to him, I think? Carol, have you got an update?
I think Roy spoke to him since me. I did ring him.
Yes, I spoke to him since May, and he was fine. He was chatting on. And he was on for ages. We talked about all sorts of things. And so he seemed fine then.
Good. Okay, guys, I'm going to sign out. And I'm going to
see you. Bye, Richard.
Okay.
Ed.
Stay safe.
Thank you.
Bye. Can I go, please? Before you go.
Alan wants to speak.
Can I ask, please, all the... Oh, he's gone. I'll email him. Can I ask all the people who presented tonight to send me their one favourite image out of what they've shown tonight and a title with it? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Alan. Yeah. Thank you for your bits and pieces. It was great when it arrived.
It was excellent.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I'll drink to that.
Cheers, everybody. Good night.
Good night. Good night. Good night. Good night. Good night. Good night.